Beisa Daf Chaf Hey. We're in the very bottom of Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. Here in the third paragraph of the Masechta, the first Mishnah introduced us to the idea that one is not allowed to do tzedah, to trap an animal on Yantav, despite the fact that Ochel Nefesh is mutter on Yantav. However, there is a cap, there's a limitation in terms of which malachas are in fact going to be permissible and which are not. Obviously, tzedah is on the list of those things which are not permissible and cannot be done on Yantav. Next Mishnah talked about laying a trap before Yantav, and if the trap ensnares the animal prior to Yantav, that's great. Now the animal is Muchan. If, on the other hand, the trap ensnares the animal on Yantav itself, so that animal now is Muksa, was not set aside for Yantav, and therefore you cannot enjoy it on Yantav. The Mishnah then brought an episode where Rabbi Gamliel was a recipient of a gift from a non-Jew. Non-Jew brought over a fish to Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel's response to the non-Jew is that really truth of the matter is mutarin hain. Fish is totally permissible. But we don't want to accept it. I don't want to accept it from you. As a personal chumrah, he opted not to accept it. As the Gemara went on to explain, really what the issue is between Rabbi Gamliel and the unspoken position of the Tanakhama of the Mishnah is what is the status regarding Safik Muchan. In the event that we do not know if the animal was in fact trapped prior to Yantav or on Yantav itself, it's a case of Safik, so by Safik Muchan. So Machlok is between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Gamliel whether Safik Muchan would in fact be allowed on Yantav. Tanakhama says Safik Muchan is in fact Asur on Yantav, and Rabbi Gamliel disagreed and said that Safik Muchan is going to be Mutter, despite the fact that he himself held by a personal chumrah not to actually accept the Safik Muchan. With that stated, the Gemara now is going to be showing us what is the accepted halacha of Papa. So we are in Chavda Amud Beis. We're about 5 lines from the bottom of the Amud, and we are going to continue now in this discussion. Amar Papa Hilchasa, so the accepted halacha is Nachar Shevi Doron Lisrael. If a non-Jew were to bring a gift to a Jew, on Yantav, B'Yamtav, so if you know that the non-Jew picked it up from the ground, plucked it out from the ground, so he violated the malacha of kotzer on Yantiv, so then asur. Under those circumstances, it would not be prohibited because kotzer is not one of the malachas that you yourself can do. Therefore, if a guy did it for you, it's going to be prohibited on Yantiv. And not only that, continues the Gemara, and on top of that, the amount of time that it took him to do that activity, so that time you're going to have to wait after Yantiv so that you get no hana from the malacha that was done for you by a guy on Yantiv itself. So this is the halacha of Bichtei Shiasu, in which, in order to ensure that you get no hana, so you have to not only wait Yantiv, but you have to wait even after Yantiv as well, the amount of time that it actually took to do that particular malacha. The imein ma'osu amin me'mechubar. So let's say the gift that he gives you happens to be not connected to the ground, meaning that you have a pretty good sense, a pretty good idea that the item was not picked from the ground, and so therefore no malacha was transgressed in order for him to get that item to you. So now it's just a question of where did he bring it from. So tocha tchum mutter. So if he brought it from within tchum, so under those circumstances it's going to be mutter, and chutz l'tchum as we are now on the top of chafei amad aleph, and if he brought it from outside tchum aser, it would be aser under those circumstances, because obviously, it was brought from outside of Tchum. Tchum is an Isser, both on Shabbos and on Yantav, and therefore, it would be prohibited. The Haba B'Shvil Yisrael Zeh, Mutal Yisrael Acher. However, if the only Isser that was violated was Tchum, so then the Isser is only going to be for you, but the item can be used by anybody else outside of yourself. So there's a lot of explaining to be done over here in these halachas by Rav Papa. I'm only going to be covering some of the very basic points, and that is, first of all, you can see Rashi over here. Rashi, Divra Maschil, Im Yesh Me'osabim, Me'mechubar Asurin. So Rashi points out over here, Mishem Moksa. So the issue over here is Moksa. Ve'afilu Rabbi Shimon, Yesh Moksa Begroger, so it's Mokim. So Rashi points out as follows, that even though Rabbi Shimon is generally speaking more Mekel as it relates to Moksa, but as we're going to be discussing in our very own Masechta, so there are a number of occasions where Rabbi Shimon is going to be Machmer, even by Moksa, noticeably what is called Groger Svitzimukim. So that literally is referring to figs and dates. And the idea is that if you go ahead and put them on the roof in order to dry, so you are actively removing them from your usage. So under those circumstances, that's the kind of muksa that Rabbi Shimon would agree to. And Rashi points out, mechubar ki grogers of simukim dami. And what we're going to have to say is that when something is connected to the ground, so in terms of muksa, it will have the status of grogers and simukim. And as a result of that, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that this is something which is subject to muksa. That is one point to go over. Another point to go over, which I'm not going to go over inside, but You take a look at Rashi over here. So you go through the Rashi. I'm not going to go through it right now. But the basic issue that Rashi is dealing with and grappling with is, what if it's a two-day yontif and he brings the gift to you on the first day? So is the Gemara addressing that scenario? And is the Gemara basically saying that under those circumstances, you are in fact allowed to use it on the second day, provided that you wait bichdei shi'asu? Rashi goes into a lengthy discourse on this particular topic, but we're going to bypass and we're going to move ahead to the next point, which I want to cover just with a little bit more detail, and that is as follows. If the item that the guy is bringing to you was not picked from the ground, so under those circumstances, if in fact the only malacha that was violated is the malacha of tchum, it was brought from outside of tchum, so then the Gemara says it's usher to you, but it's not going to be usher to anybody else. That's a little bit troubling to understand, and Rashi himself also is struggling. You take a look at the Rashi on the top of Chafei Amud Aleph, and he writes, Shamati tam mekubal bedavar. So he says, this halacha that's only usher to you and not to anybody else, so Rashi says, it's hard. Hard to come up with a pshat. If the issue is muksa, meaning something that's brought from outside of tchum, it falls under the category of muksa. We don't make a distinction between muksa for you versus somebody else. And if it's because an iser was done for you by this guy, so once again, there is no differentiation between you and somebody else. So we go to the two pages in Shabbos that deal with Amir Lenachri. Rashi quotes the Gemara Kuf Chabez, that if a non-Jew were to light for on behalf of a Jew, it's going to be Asr. And the Gemara made no distinction between lighting Isser for the person that was lit for versus Isser for another Jew, meaning it's Asr across the board. So if it's a problem of muksa is usher across the board. If it's a problem of mir lanachri, that's also usher across the board. So Rashi proposes the following. But you could just tell from the tone of Rashi that he's unsure, and this is a proposal on his part. So perhaps over here, because the yisr that we're talking about is the yisr of tchum, which is the din de rabbanan, so the rabbis weren't that machmir, v'dayan imasru al zeh. And so therefore, because it was only an Issa de Rabbanan, so therefore the Issa is only going on the person that was brought forward, but not on anybody else. Okay, that's the Rashi suggestion over here. And if I can guess, and if I can just try to think about why Rashi is so unhappy with that pshat, so possibly when it comes to Tchum, despite the fact that it's an Issa de Rabbanan, so we find a number of places throughout the Gemara that by an Issa de Rabbanan, the Chachamim want to go in the other direction, meaning they don't want to be more mako by an Issa de Rabbanan, they want to fortify and strengthen an Issa de Rabbanan. So to say over here that because it's an Issa de Rabbanan, we're therefore going to be more mako, I'm guessing that's why Rashi struggled a little bit with that pshat. But anyway, that's the pshat that Rashi offered in terms of understanding the Gemara. And once again, we're just covering the very basics. There are a number of other ways to say the pshat in the Gemara, but we're going to just limit ourselves to Rashi. We are continuing on Chafei Amud Aleph, we're two lines down. Amarava baravuna amarava socher amasmai me'er of yamtov lamacher ishkim amatza ba'dagim utarim. So a halacha that's said over in the name of Rav, and that is that if you close up part of the fish pond, so that means to say that let's say there's some sort of canal flowing through your backyard, and you close it up so that you are really limiting the current that's going through. In fact, you're not just limiting. In other words, so basically what you're doing is you are, before Yontif, trapping anything in that very confined area in which whatever you're closing off. So when next morning, when you wake up and you find fish in that area, so you can go ahead and you can take it. And really what this halacha is addressing are two considerations, two concerns. And the heter over here is really addressing two heterim. One is that by virtue of the fact that it's such a closed and confined area, so now it's considered, the fish that are there are considered no longer mechusar sedem, no longer deficient in trapping, meaning the fish are considered trapped already before yontif. And so therefore by pulling them out of the water, that is not an act of sedem. That's number one. Number two is muksa, meaning that we know that in order to enjoy an animal going into yontif, so the animal has to be designated prior to yontif. So by virtue of the fact that you're closing up that particular area, so that is considered an act of designation, where the fish in that pond is no longer considered to be muksa. So it resolves the problem. By closing up this area, it resolves the problem of seda, and it resolves the problem of muksa as well. So Amar Rav Chisda Medivrei Rabbeinu Nelmod. So Rav Chisda says, okay, this halacha of Rav, so let's go and let's try to expand the application. And that would be Chai Shekarna Beparde, saying, Tzricha Zimun. Let's say you have a young animal, a right wild animal, that just delivers in your pardes, meaning So you didn't do anything. You just simply happened to have a birth occurring in your orchard. So that's enough for that, if this event were to occur before Yontif. So you don't have to actively be mezamin it. You don't have to actually set it aside for Yontif, meaning by just simple virtue of the fact that it occurred in your property. So now it's considered mizuman. So, and the Gemara wants to extrapolate that from the halacha of Rav. Now, hopefully what you're wondering is the cases are not comparable. The Gemara is about to point that out. The Gemara first gives us a couple of introductory comments. Amar Rav Nachman afachavern b'Rav Vasa. So Rav Nachman said that when Rav Chista attempted to make this comment, so a number of people, a number of his colleagues ganged up on him. Igad Armi now in a slightly different version, Amar Rav b'Rav Huna. So in the second version, it's basically the same as the first version. It just happens to be that the Baal Memra is not Rav Chisda, but rather Rav Abba Rav Huna. But it comes out to be the same. He wants to extend it to the case where there was a birth that occurred in your orchard. I'm Rav Nachman Afabar Chavrein b'Rav Ravas. And again, Rav Nachman said that when he tried to say this, so a number of people jumped on in and argued with him. And then, now the Gemara points out there's a simple distinction between the case where you're closing up the canal on your property versus a birthing that occurs on your property. The difference is obvious, and the Gemara here spells it out. Hasam lo kavin maisa, haka kavin maisa. So when you're stopping up the water, in other words, what you're doing is that you're closing off the water, so that is an action. As opposed to if a birth occurs on your property, there was no action that was performed over there. And so clearly the cases are not comparable. And the Gemara says, and on top of that, we don't require zimun. Of course we require zimun. The Gemara now is going to quote a brace of Atanya. So here, we could really stop right here at the beginning of the Braisa. It couldn't be any clearer. The Braisa says that when you have a birth that occurs on your orchard, you still have to be mezamin. You still have to set it aside and say that this animal I plan on using for Yontif. On top of that, a free bird, you have to tie its wings up so that it doesn't get confused with its mother. In other words, so you can have proper identification that you know that it's this bird that you in fact plan on using over the course of Yontif. And this is testimony that was given by Shmai V'Avtayon, the fourth of the five Zugos that ran the rabbinate in the beginning of Beit Sheni. After Anshe Knesset Zagadola and Shayari Anshe Knesset Zagadola, and after Shimon HaTzadik, so then the Misara went through five pairs of Zugos. The fourth of the pair of Zugos is Shmai V'Avtayon. The fifth, of course, is Hillel and Shammai. But anyway, what comes out over here is that clearly you need Zimun and Tiyufta. And so the Gemara just simply says, you're right, and there's nothing to discuss. And so as much as we had a suggestion that a birth that occurs on your orchard does not require Zimun, the Gemara conclusively says that it does require Zimun. Me by Zimun v'atanya. Now the Gemara says, now I'm gonna counter, despite the fact that we just seem to have clearly concluded you need Zimun, the Gemara says a counter. Which is, let's go through another brisa. Amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar Modi Beishamu Beisela Al She's Minim B'Tocha Kana Masal Lifnei Kansha Asurin. So we go back to a Mishnah that we saw back on Daf Yud, and this is a brisa very similar to what we saw back on Daf Yud, with just a little bit of an addition. Beishamu Beisela will agree that if you are mezamein the birds in the birdhouse, and the next morning on Yontif morning you wake up and there's no birds in the birdhouses, and there are birds in the front, so they're going to be asur b'med v'mamor b'yonah shavach v'yonah aliyah v'tzipam shekano b'tepichim u'b'bira. So that's talking about birds that are a little bit more free spirited, meaning birds that'll go around and out and about. Aval ivzim v'tarnigolim v'yonah hardesios v'chay shekino b'pardes. However, if we're talking about more domesticated type birds, so mutarim, so then they're going to be mutar, meaning you can now safely assume that these birds are not distance travelers, and if we're talking about birds where before Yontif were in the birdhouse and on Yontif they were in front, so for these kinds of birds we can assume they're the same birds. Main tzrichim zimun, and they do not require a special designation. But tzipor jord tzrichel lekasher bechanafeh kedishal tischal lepeima. Continuing in this brisa, so the tzipor jord, you have to tie the wings up in order so it doesn't confuse with its mother. Vaham mikusharim vaham minuin. Now, if you have birds that are tied up, if you have birds that were shaken, so that means to say that they were obviously designated a sign. So if they were encountered anywhere on the ground, in a pit or in the house, so they're going to be motor. However, if the birds are located up in the tree, so then asurim, they're going to be prohibited. Because a bird in the tree runs the risk of you climbing up the tree, and that, of course, is going to be a prohibited activity on Yontif. And then, just finishing up this brisa, a general point. Ham mikusharim v'ham minu'anin v'chol makom asurim. Mishum Gezel. And when it comes to birds that are tied up or that are shaken clearly by somebody else, so that means that they were acquired by somebody else, and that means that you can't take them because they are owned by somebody else, and it would represent Gezela if in fact you took it. General point, not related obviously to our discussion, but that obviously is not a yantav point, that's just a general point. Anyway, we are now at somewhat of an impasse. The first brisa says that when it comes to birds, there's a requirement of zimun. They have to be designated, they have to be set aside. And in the brisa that we just covered, that we just went through, said that there is no requirement of zimun. So Amar Rav Nachman Lokasha Haba Behabi Ima. So the Gemara at first tries to make a distinction whether we're talking about the young free bird that doesn't really have the ability to walk around. So being that you know it's on your property, it doesn't require zimun because you know it's there, as opposed to the mother, which is more developed and can fly away, and that bird is going to require zimun. So the Gemara says, Zima b'zimun sagilei, seidem al yusabai. So the Gemara says, with the mother bird, that makes no sense whatsoever. Because again, as we discussed already earlier, there are really two issues that one has to take into consideration. One is zimun and muchan, and the other one is seida. So even if I set aside the mother bird, but it, for me, in order to capture the mother bird on yantiv, I'm going to have to effort in order to do so. And as we already established in the beginning of this barak, that's going to be an act of tzeda. That's an act of trapping, which you're not allowed to do on yantiv. So the Gemara says, so that doesn't make any sense. Ella, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Yidivide B'Dida. We're talking about the baby bird. And ha-beginas mucha li'er, ha-beginas she'enas mucha. It depends which garden we're talking about. If we're talking about a garden that's right next to your house, right next to your property, so you know it's there, and so there doesn't need to be specialized money that's done, but it's just simple virtue of the fact that the bird is there on your property going to Yantav, that would be fine. However, if it is a gina she'ena smucha, if it's a garden that's not near your property, so that requires zimun, because you don't know for sure that the bird is there, and so therefore, before Yantav, you have to go out to that garden, and you have to make sure that the bird is there, and you have to actively be mezami. Good. Okay, so having now covered our first topic, so first we went through a psak in terms of what in fact would be the halacha if somebody delivers something to you on yantiv, and you are and the various variables about whether it was malacha was done or malacha was not done, was tchum transgressed, was tchum not transgressed, and all the psakim that were issued by Rav Papa. And the next thing that we covered is the halachas of Rav Baravun in the name of Rav, which is that if you stop up the canal that's running through your property, and you now have a contained area of water on your property. So now all the fish in there are considered nitzo, they're considered trapped already, and they're considered muzman. They're considered set aside for yantiv. And leaning the Gemara to a discussion of what needs zimun and what does not need zimun. With that stated, we're now up to Mishnah on Chafei Amud Aleph. We continue. To gain an appreciation of this Mishnah, just a couple of quick words of introduction. Number one. An animal that is old is not a trefa. A trefa is an animal that has a very specific pathology. The Mishnah in the third parak of Chulin goes through 18 various trefas, 18 different organs in the body of the animal, where if it is punctured, severed, or various other pathologies, so the animal is holech lamos, the animal now is in critical condition, and the animal at that point in time is in fact termed and deemed a trefa. And even if you shock the animal, you can't eat the animal has the status of a trefa. However, old age is not a trefa. And if the animal now just simply is dying because of old age, so if you were to shock the animal prior to the animal's death, so then the animal would be perfectly kosher. Meaning the shechita would be a legitimate shechita and the animal would be perfectly kosher. Okay, that is one general point. Another general point is that on yantiv, so if you see that the animal is dying, so you're going to be motivated financially to go ahead to shech the animal. Meaning, if the animal dies without the benefit of a shechita, so that is going to be all that meat which is no longer edible, and that represents a significant financial loss. So as a result of that, a person is going to be extraordinarily motivated to shech the animal. However, the problem, of course, is that if you shech the animal on yantiv, but do not benefit from that animal on yantiv, so that is a violation of yantiv. Meaning the heter ochel nefesh on yantiv is only for yantiv. But what you can't do is that you cannot do a malach on yantiv for something where you're only benefiting for it after yantiv. In fact, that would be an issur d'oraisa to do so. So, let's leave it there in terms of a basic introduction to our Mishnah. Let's start the Mishnah. Behemah Mesukenah. So you see an animal that is dying on Yantiv. So lo yishchot alam ken yeshos b'yam lechol mimenu kazai tzli. So there must be enough time on Yantiv so that you could roast the kazais of that animal and eat a kazais of that animal. Meaning, as long as you can get a basic hana of that animal on Yantiv itself, that would be enough justification to go ahead and to shech the animal on Yantiv. Do you actually have to eat the kazais basar? So seemingly the answer is no. Meaning that we have a principle, we have a concept of halal, since you could do it, so that would be enough to justify it. Now, under normal circumstances, halal, we touched on this point earlier, halal is not normally a matir, meaning halal, what halal does is that removes an issur d'oraisa, but to actually allow and to permit, so generally speaking, halal doesn't do that. But over here, however, one can make the argument that halal would work under these circumstances, because over here we're talking about a significant financial loss. So in other words, and if there is no heter that is used via ho'ol, so then a person would be tempted to take matters in his own hands. So you could make the argument over here that even though ho'ol is normally not a matir, but under these circumstances, because of the significant financial loss, so we could use ho'ol not just to remove ourselves from the issur d'oraisa, but even to be a full-fledged matir. Rabbi Kiva Omer afilu kazayis chai mi beis tivichasa. Rabbi Kiva is even a little bit more makel, meaning that according to the Tanakhama, there must be enough time on Yantiv where you're going to be able to roast a piece of kazayis of the meat. According to Rabbi Kiva, you don't even have to have that. As long as you're able to eat a meat from the makom shchita, a kazayis of the meat in the makom shchita, that would be sufficient. Now, first of all, you need to have a pretty good stomach in order to eat the meat raw. On top of that, what about the issue of blood? So I'll say it succinctly, although this could be discussed in much, it should be discussed in much greater detail, but to just simply say it succinctly, so if you're eating a raw piece of meat, and even though the meat has blood on it, so according to most Rishonim, that is not a violation of Achilas Dam. Okay, could explain this and clarify this point with a lot greater detail, but just for the sake of going through the daf, we'll just leave it at that. So shechta b'sada lo yivena b'mot. The Mishnah also brings another halacha. Let's say you shech the animal out in the field, and now you want to bring it to your house on Yantiv. So assuming, of course, you're within Tchum. So the Mishnah says that don't bring it with using sticks, meaning don't carry it on sticks. Lo b'mot uvimota. Aval maybe biado evarim evarim. You can bring it with your hands one piece at a time or a couple pieces at a time, but you can't bring it in using sticks. The problem with the sticks is that it's uvda d'chol. It looks like the way you would transport the meat normally during a regular weekday, and that's not the way to behave on Yantiv. This falls under the category of uvda d'chol. Let's start with the Gemara. Amar Rami bar Abba hefshe b'nituach ba'ola. So we know, of course, that when it comes to carbonola, so there is hefshe b'nituach. You have to flay the animal and you cut the animal into pieces. Then and only then do you bring it up onto the mizbeach. So v'hu adin l'katzavim. Now, even though the Torah mandates that is the way to handle a carbonola. So what the Gemara now is saying is that when you are a butcher, so you're going to be you're going to do the same thing. So you're going to have to flay the animal and cut the animal up before eating it. We're not talking about a carbon. We're just talking about derech eretz. This is the proper way to go ahead and to eat an animal. Mikan lam de Torah derech eretz. In fact, the Gemara makes this point very clearly. This is derech eretz. Shelo yochel adam basar kol nemeshev v'nituach. Meaning that the Torah wants us to be refined and people of etiquette and civilized. And so therefore, if we shecht an animal, so don't start eating the animal at that point in time. In other words, first flay the animal, then cut the animal, meaning take the time to prepare the animal properly and then eat it. Now, my kamash malan ilayim ala fukim adravuna. Now, for a moment, the Gemara is going to think that this is not just an issue of etiquette and derech eretz, but rather there's a acute halachic concern over here. Notably, maybe what the Gemara is at least for a moment going to entertain and suggest is that the reason why we need to flay the animal, cut the animal up, is because we need to make sure that the animal is not a treifa. Now, if you remember your Gemara in Chulin, and we're going to go over it again right now, so we generally have what's called a chazaka, an assumption, which is that an animal is not a treifa. When you shecht an animal and the animal was seemingly in total working order, so once the animal shechted, we assume that the animal is not a treifa. There is minhag Yisrael that we do check the lungs, and that minhag is a long-standing minhag that's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. But as the Gemara is going to tell us, the chazaka is that the animal is not a treifa. So the Gemara says, "Ilem alafukim mid Rav Huna damer Rav Huna behema be chaya becheskas iser omedes ad shivad lecha b'manishchata." So we assume that if an animal shechted, so we are making the assumption that the animal is in a state of iser, meaning it's an enosh chuta, until we know for sure that it was shechted correctly. Okay, in other words, when you're going from a status of the animal being alive to the animal being shechted, so you have to know that the shechita was done properly. Nishchata, but once the animal shechted properly, becheskas heter omedes ad shivad lecha b'men nitrefa. But once shechted properly, so we will assume that the animal is not a trefa, meaning we assume the animal is a healthy animal. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. So you're telling me that the reason why we have to flay and cut the animal up is because we need to do an examination on all internal organs, and what the Gemara now is suggesting is, and maybe all that because we don't hold like Rav Huna. The Gemara says, but we know we hold like Rav Huna. First of all, our Mishnah right here in Beis on Chaf Hei goes like Rav Huna. Did not we learn in the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva Amar, if you look at his eyes, Chami Beis Tvichasa. Rabbi Kiva allows for you to eat from the meat of the neck immediately after shechting it. Now, obviously over there, you didn't do any examination, you didn't do any inspection. So my love, Beis Tvichasa Mamish, and aren't we talking about the neck? So the Gemara says, well, Mimakum She Tovachas Achilasa. So the Gemara suggests maybe it's not the neck, maybe we're talking about the stomach. And it certainly is a strange way to describe the stomach, but the Gemara is suggesting maybe that's what it means. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it's not true. The Bryce of Rabbi Chia tells us that it's talking about the neck. And so clearly you're allowed to eat, according to Rabbi Kiva, you're allowed to eat the meat of the animal from the neck of the animal, and obviously you did not do an examination to see whether the animal is a treif or not, because we hold like Rav Huna. So Ella, Rami Bar Abba, Orech Ara, Kamashmalan. So Rami Bar Abba, in terms of telling us that we have to cut the animal up and we have to flay the animal and then cut it up, it's not a halachic concern. It's not a specific halachic concern, but rather it's just simple etiquette. The Gemara goes on. Kid Tanya. We have a number of braces that speak about this, so we're going to go through a couple of braces over here on the top of Chaf Hei Amud Beis, speaking about etiquette. Lo yichol adam shum avasam yirosher lami alav. When eating garlic and onions, so don't eat it from the bowl, but eat it from the leaves. Okay, I don't fully follow. I don't fully understand. I do get excited about the fact that Rashi uses the Spanish word to describe onions. He says cebolla, but anyway, I don't fully understand. But anyway, there's something more patient and meshlechite of eating the onions and eating the garlic, starting with the leaves and going to the bulbs. Okay, the imachla harizah ravtan. Now, if you eat the onion going straight for the bulb, so you're considered glutton. Another example, you have a cup of wine, you drink it all in one gulp, so you're a glutton. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara, more on this topic. Hopefully this sounds familiar. We did this Gemara regarding wine and the proper way to drink wine back in the 10th Perek of Pesachim. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara gives us another brace. Drinking a cup of wine in one gulp is considered glutton. Shnayim derech eretz. Two gulps is considered etiquette. And shlosha migase ruach. However, if you sip your wine, so that you are an arrogant individual. Okay. Amarami bar Abba hatzovea. I'm sorry. Chatzuva mekatei raglem derashi. Rami bar Chama makes a number of observations. Okay, we're a little bit off topic over here, but the Gemara has other members of Rami bar Chama. So number one, the chatzuva, a plant that's used to outline and demarcate borders of people's properties. The chatzuva plant goes straight down, it goes straight up. It's a great way to mark off whose border and whose property belongs to whom. And what is going to end up happening, the way Rashi understands it, is that the chatzuva is going to testify you if you, in fact, encroach on other people's property. Because obviously to encroach on other people's property, assuming the chatzuva was planted, is that you're going to have to rip up the chatzuva in order to go into other people's property. And it means that you were intentional. You knew exactly where the property line ended, and you intentionally you went ahead and you encroached onto other people's property. Another comment to Rami Bar Chama, and that is the sapling. Meaning we know the halach of Arla tells us that we're not allowed to eat the fruit of a tree for the first 3 years, and the Torah basically says to us to wait. And so this idea of waiting, meaning we're supposed to take the mitzvah and accept the mussar that comes out from the mitzvah, and we have to wait. So wait for the right time. And the Gemara says for the katzavim, for the butchers, who shech the animal and do not wait the appropriate time, like we've been discussing. In other words, they're not flaying the animal, they're not cutting it up, but rather they're eating the meat right away, or bole nidos. Husband and wife who are intimate within the time that she's an nida. And again, the violation over here, aside from him being bole nida, is that they were impatient, they didn't wait for the right time. Okay, so so we should be learning lessons of patience and waiting for the right moment. Termusa mikatea raglein dis soneim shel Yisrael. And as far as the termus, as far as this bean, okay, it comes up a number of times throughout Shas. This is a bean which is really bitter, and it needs to be boiled 7 times. And only after 7 consecutive boilings, then and only then, is it edible, is it even sweet? And unfortunately, the Jewish people are not like the Talmudim. Now, whenever you see the Gemara being critical about the Jewish people, it doesn't say Shal Yisrael, it says so name Shal Yisrael. It's a euphemism. Shenemar, here we are now in Sefer Shoftim, v'yosifu b'nei Yisrael asos Rabbi Ne'eshem v'yabdu es ha-be'alim v'es ha-ashtaros v'es Elohei Aram v'es Elohei Tzidon v'es Elohei Moab v'es Elohei b'nei Amon v'es Elohei Plishim v'yazvu es Hashem v'lo abdu. So, 7 different avodah zarahs that were being violated by the Jewish people, and we still left HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we did not serve him. The end of the pasuk seems to be redundant. So we're not even like the tormos bean. You cook it 7 times, but after you cook it 7 times, finally gets sweetened. So lo asuuni banai. But we, the Jewish people, weren't even that. Meaning, We were over to Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu beat us. The enemies went intact. Basically, you know, Sefer Shoftim. And we didn't learn the Mussar. And it happened again, and we didn't learn the Mussar, and v'chule v'chule, it happened 7 times. And we still didn't learn the Mussar. We weren't even like the Tormus. Tana Mishmei the Rab Meir, Mimnei Manin, Atar Lisrael, Mimnei Shehin Azin. Now, on one hand, being stubborn is a bad thing. On the other hand, the Gemara says, it's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us and gave us the Torah. It's because we're so brazen. Tandebe Rav Shimon, Mimino Ishta Samo. Okay, happens to be. We're right there on the Parsha. So, and the description of the Torah being Eish. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ru'in Alal Shetinas Lehem Das Eish. So we are fit that we should be given the Das Eish. Meaning, by virtue of the fact that we're so brazen and we could be a difficult bunch. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that he gives us the Torah which is like Eish, which will shape us and it'll mold us. Igad Armin, a slightly different version, datem shel elu eish, meaning that our general pathways is that we're fire. Shel amali nitna Torah liyisrael ein kol umah v'lashon yicholim la'amod bifneihem, and we're so fiery that had we not been given the Torah and we had carte blanche and we had a free pass to we would just simply we would dominate, we would take over everything. Three things that are really the most brazen. That is Yisrael Be'umos, the Jewish people amongst the other nations. Kalev Bechayos, dogs as relative to the rest of the animal kingdom. Tarnagol Be'ofos, and when it comes to Tarnagol, when it comes to birds. The Tarnagol and the Ofos, quite frankly, I don't fully understand. The chicken does not come off as being such a brazen bird, but okay. My understanding over here certainly can be and should be sharpened. Af Eiz Bibehema Daka, amongst the small animals, the Eiz is the most brazen. Now, it happens to be that from a word standpoint, it works out really well because the Eiz is the same shorish as the word Uz. So, from that standpoint, it makes sense. Again, the brazenness of the goats, am I really in a position that I can explain it? No, not particularly. V'yeshomim Af Tzlaf Be'ilanos. Now, the Tzlaf is also brazen as well. Rashi here, I don't have to say I don't know, although I'm ready to say I don't know how the sloth is brazen, but Rashi says I don't know. Rashi over here, Rashi a number of times throughout Shas, when he does not have a pshat to offer, so Rashi was interested in only the truth, and if he didn't have a pshat, he was very forthcoming in saying, I don't have a pshat. Rashi over here says I don't have a pshat. You can see Tosus over here, where Tosus does in fact offer a pshat. But anyway, whatever. It's difficult to understand how the sloth is such a brazen fruit. Shachar besada lo yivenim bemot. Okay, so a couple more halachas just to finish up the daf, and that is the that the if you shech the animal in the field, so don't bring it in on sticks. It's uvda dechol. And the Gemara now is going to be discussing a number of things which are considered uvda dechol and should not be done on Yantav. Tana Rabbanan ein hasuma yotze b'maklo. So a blind person shouldn't go out with his walking stick. That would be considered uvda dechol. Yes, I too struggle over here trying to understand this. How can a walking stick be uvda dechol? Meaning that's the way that he gets about. That's how he navigates. Admittedly, difficult to understand. The shepherd shouldn't go out with his staff. But of course, all this is on Yontif. And you can't be carried on a chair. Okay, practice back in the day for people of prominence is that they were carried around in a chair. In other words, instead of them having to walk around, so they basically got taxied from one place to another. They had a chair, they were picked up on the chair, and they were carried around. Okay? So the and the Gemara says we can't do this on Yontif. Again, the issue over here is that it's a weekday activity, it's a mundane activity, it falls under the category of uvda dechol. Ini, now on this point about being carried around the chair, so the Gemara has a number of comments. So, v'ashalach Rav Yaakov b'hidi zaken echad haya b'shkunasav, v'haya yotze b'gul deki shelo. So there was an elder that was taken out of the gul deki, v'av v'shalos Rav Yeshua ben Levi v'amar imram tzrichon lo mutter. Rav Yeshua ben Levi was asked a question about the propriety of this act on Yontif. And he says that if the public needs him, meaning that he's giving, let's say, a shear, and it's tzorchei rabim, so then he could be taken on the chair. V'samchu Rabbi Sinai al divrei achei shakya, d'amar ana afikti l'ravuna mihini l'shila mishila lehini. And in fact, we did the same thing with Rav Huna. We took him on a chair and we transported him from these two towns. They were within proximity of one another. It was not a violation of tchum. The only consideration is being transported in the chair, and he says it's fine. We did so with Rav Huna. And again, we did the same thing with Shmuel as well. Reports Rav Nachman Yitzchak, where basically we carried him on a chair. And again, these are people that are tzarchei rabim. They're giving a shear, and you're allowed to do this. And at first, the Gemara for a moment thinks it's a question, but the Gemara immediately fills in the detail that Tzarchei Rabbim, they were giving a shear to the public. So Rav Nachman says to Chamer Ba'ada, he has a nickname of Shliach Zion. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, Akiv Vizil Asulama Ditzur. So I want you to go to the north, go to the literally the ladders of Tzur. And Vizula Gabi Rav Yaakov B'Idi, go visit Rav Yaakov B'Idi, Ubay Mine Kisei Ma'asun Bey. And I want you to ask him about a chair, meaning the transportation when you are using this chair on Yantiv, and the propriety of it. And presumably, Rav Nachman had a tremendous amount of respect for this Rav Yaakov B'Idi, and solicited his opinion on this matter. Ada Azul Ahasam Nachnav Shei to Rav Yaakov B'Idi. Now, unfortunately, by the time he got there, so Rav Nachman B'Idi died. I'm sorry, Rav Yaakov B'Idi passed away. So he eventually meets up with another Amor in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Zrika. And he wants to know what is your status, what's your halachic psak regarding being transported in a chair on Yontif. So he says, you could be transported in a chair, but you cannot put the chairs on people's shoulders. So in other words, there were various ways of carrying the chair in, and by having the chair connected to poles and putting the poles on shoulders, so that, generally speaking, is the way that you would transport people for longer distances. So you can't do that on Yontif. That's really uvda dechol. So my vavashali katef, I'm Rav Yosef b'reid derava be'alonki. So having this type of chair, the alonki chair, so people, generally speaking, transport that chair on their shoulders. And so again, that's uvda dechol. You can't do that. So the Gemara says, Hini v'av Rav Nachman sharele liyalta lemepek a'alonki. So the Gemara says, now Rav Nachman allowed his wife Yalta to go and be transported on this chair. Now Yalta was an Isha Chashuva. She comes up numerous times throughout Shas, and she's a popular figure in the Gemara. And she has some personality. But anyway, she was the daughter of the Reish Galusa. So she went on the Alonki chair, and we just said, you're not allowed to. So Shani Yalta de Biaso. So the Gemara says, yeah, but she was very nervous, meaning being transported on the quote unquote regular chair, just to speak in modern terms. So she, in other words, for her, she wasn't used to flying coach, and it made her nervous. So she always flew first class. She always went in these more luxurious chairs, and it made her feel more comfortable. And you're going to have to say that Rabban Srichim La. That, in other words, there was some sort of public need for her to be transporting these chairs. Amemar Marzucha Mekhafi Luhu Bishabasa de Rigla, Mishum Biyasusa. And the Gemara finishes off by telling us that Amemar Marzucha also went out in these somewhat more fancier chairs. But again, the reason why they did so is because they were afraid, or because there was just so many people there. So, again, considering the fact that Rabban Srichim Lo, that many people needed them, and because they were just simply uncomfortable going out in the smaller chairs, so they can actually be transported in the larger chairs. We'll stop over here at the Mishnah. And Mir Hashem, tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah with a quick review. First, we finished off the halachas of Rav Papa, what happens when you receive a gift from a goy on Yontiv, and the various considerations in terms of whether or not you can use the item that was given to you by a goy on Yontiv. Was malachas violated with it? Yes or no? Was tchom violated with it? Yes or no? And the various psakim of Rav Papa. By stopping up and closing a small area of water from the lake and doing so before Yontiv, so all the fish that are in that enclosed area, so you're allowed to benefit from them on Yontiv itself. And the chiddush over here is that it's no longer an act of seida by you taking the fish, and the fish are now considered muzman. They're considered designated going into Yontiv, prompting the Gemara to have a discussion of what requires zimun, what does not require zimun, what requires designation, what does not require designation. That took us to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if I have an animal that's dying on Yontiv and I want to shechta so I don't lose all that money, so you're allowed to shechta on Yontiv, but only provided that there is enough time on Yontiv to go ahead and to roast a kezais of the meat. Rabbi Kiva even is more makel in the Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva says that you can just simply take a kezais of the meat of the neck, so that is even a quicker and a shorter amount of time. And the Mishnah says that if you shechta the animal out in the field, so to bring the animals using poles is considered uvda dechol, and that you're not allowed to do. The Gemara's discussion is that after you shechta an animal, so you have to flay the animal and you have to cut it up. Now that's of course true by carbon, but the Gemara says it's true even by an animal which is chulin, and as the Gemara concluded, it's not a halachic issue, it's an etiquette issue, it's derech eretz. Now derech eretz also is halacha, but in other words, it's not a specific halachic concern, it's just that the Torah wants us to be refined and to be mensch. And so when you shecht an animal, so don't start eating the meat of the animal. First flay the animal, then cut it up. And then and only then should you go ahead and eat it. With that, the Gemara gave us a number of other rules regarding etiquette, and including how to drink wine. The Gemara spoke about how various plants and vegetations are supposed to give us mussar, and we're supposed to learn from them. Okay. And the Gemara, a little bit of agarata today on today's daf, Chafei Amud Beis. Regarding the nature of the Jewish people, the nature of the Torah. The Torah is there to basically rein us in. We are an Am Ksheyarf, we're a nation which is Az, we're very brazen, and the Torah specifically was given us to rein us in. And the last thing we discussed are various issues of Uvd Zechol, and the Gemara spent a good amount of time at the end of today's daf going over being transported on a chair on Yontif, the chair, speaking, that's an Uvd Zechol. However, if you're needed for the Rabbim, and you have certain sensitivities regarding a smaller chair, a larger chair, how the chair is to be transported. So under certain circumstances, you can in fact be transported on a chair on Yontif.